Good morning, Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
What does that mean? Depend on the circumstances. He was the president. He is the commander in chief. He talks to his generals all the time. And he told the generals, I don't feel like leaving office. I want to stage a coup. Is that immune?
If it's an official act, there needs to be impeachment and conviction beforehand because the framers viewed the that kind of
if
very
it's an
low
official
risk.
Act, is it an official act?
If it's an official act, it's impeachment.
Is it an official act?
On the way you've described that hypothetical, it could well be. I just don't know. You'd have to, again, it's a fact-specific, context-specific determination.
That answer sounds to me as though it's like, yeah, under my test, it's an official act. But that sure sounds bad, doesn't it?
Well, it certainly sounds very bad.
You think? Remember when we covered that? You may not, okay? 3 months ago, the Supreme Court heard oral arguments in the question of whether President Trump is immune to prosecution after having left office for things he did while he was in office, because there's all these different legal cases against him, right? And that's Matt Sauer, who was arguing for Trump. Or, sorry, John Sauer, not Matt. I don't know what that meant. Anyway, John Sauer arguing for Trump, being questioned by Elena Kagan, Supreme Court Justice, typically liberal Supreme Court Justice. One of the few people who didn't write an opinion yesterday, Sotomayor writes an opinion, dissent. Thomas writes a concurrence with an added bit of stuff. Amy Coney Barrett writes a concurring with some dissent. Anyway, John Sauer says, yeah, I mean, ordering a coup, I mean, it's kind of within presidential powers, military commander-in-chief, and so, yeah, I don't really like it. And she's like, well, yeah, but that's what you're saying. Okay, so if you have been listening this morning, if you're not already angry at me, and I know many of you are, and okay, here's what I want you to keep in mind as we talk about this morning. And I mean this very genuinely. Is your reaction to this ruling, are you happy about it if you are? Because it protects your guy, you think? Or are you happy about it because it's good law? And the way to tell is, this clearly gives some protection to former President Trump. Which ones he's protected against now is, even the court said, a little up for grabs. But some slices of the case against him on election interference have now been dropped. The Department of Justice part has been dropped or is ordered to be irrelevant under his immunity grant. Other parts still remain remanded back to the lower courts to make fact decisions. Okay, and we'll kind of try to get to all that and explain it to it. But okay. So he's somewhat protected, maybe not totally protected, from some of the claims against him right now. Are you happy because your guy won or because the Constitution won? And the way to tell is this. Would you be happy if it also had protected Biden or if it were Biden who were being protected? Would you be happy if it were Clinton or Obama being protected? And I think if you're honest, I think the vast majority of you would have to say, well, no. And that's the problem. You got to read this opinion as applying to all the presidents, the ones you like and the ones you hate, evenly. And unfortunately, this morning, what I hear is all the Democrats are freaked out and furious, and all the Republicans are happy and woohoo, except for little old Andrew McKay. You know, little Andrew McKay is sitting here thinking, this is bad. This is really, really bad. Having read the opinion, this is bad. I don't go with some of the hyperbolic expressions by some of the Democrats, but they're not completely crazy. And I don't draw relief like my fellow Republicans who all seem to think, well, thank goodness, because now President Trump can get reelected and have presidential immunity for anything he does in office, just like we were hoping for. My God, man. What are you doing? Are you nuts? Because Biden has that level of immunity now. Are you happy about that? What he could do with it? Are you happy about what Trump could do with it? I mean, no. Okay, but haven't really explained the opinion or talked about how it might be defensible or whatever. We'll do that in a second. John Pickens got traffic on the fives.
That's right. Seeing no accidents to report right now. I-10, I-110 flowing smoothly. But if you're at the intersection of Cervantes and 9th, just there's major traffic backups in all four lanes. So at that intersection, pack your patience with that one. Other than that, things are rolling smoothly. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
All right. Thanks, John. So here's what the court decided. The court decided that when it comes to the core powers of the president, things like granting pardons or firing subordinates or recognizing foreign nations, and although they did not explicitly say it, one would think military command decisions, because he is the commander-in-chief of the military, and other powers the president has, are core powers, as in the Constitution grants them only to him. In those core powers, he cannot be ever challenged or prosecuted. He could be impeached for his misuse of them, but he cannot then be prosecuted after the fact. Okay? He can be removed from power, but that's it. Okay? That's what they decided about core powers. What they decided about secondary or peripheral or outer edge or something other than those core powers is it depends on the individual circumstance. For example, telling Pence not to certify the election. You would think that's an executive core power because that's the president talking to the vice president. He's a member of the executive office of the executive branch. Therefore, that's a core power. That's no problem for Trump. He'd be immune on that. That's one of the allegations. It's one of the charges Jack Smith brought. And the Supreme Court says not so fast, because when he is sitting as the president of the Senate, he is not functioning as a subordinate of the executive branch. He's functioning in the Senate as the president of the Senate. And so, being told by the president not to use his official powers as a representative of the Senate at this point a certain way is not a core power of the president, is not protected, and might be subject to some kind of challenge for criminal behavior, for abuse of process, or interfering with the election or something like that. Okay, you follow? I mean, there's a lot to track on all of this, but that's kind of the argument. Same thing when he's calling governors or secretaries of state and complaining and trying to slate, you know, illegal second slates of electors. That is at least a question that the court has to figure out if that's within his power to protect the republic and protect the laws and protect elections, the role of which for the president is not obvious. Okay. What about speaking on January 6th and encouraging a mob, if that's how you interpret that? Well, that looks like presidential, you know, that looks like speech. As a candidate or as the president? Well, the president has a lot of power to speak, but if he's speaking as a candidate, then he's operating as a candidate, as a private individual. These are things that have to be figured out. Okay, so they basically remanded all the questions except for trying to get the Department of Justice to bully the states into putting in different slates of electors. That one they said is totally fine because the Department of Justice is an extension of the president, and therefore anything they do in that regard is okay, which I thought was a crazy conclusion, but that's the conclusion that they drew. Personal decisions are completely subject to prosecution because they're not protected by presidential immunity. They're not grants of power under the Constitution. And anything he does in office, he can be prosecuted for after he's out of office. You can't prosecute presidents sitting, but you can prosecute them after they leave. Okay. What's the problem with this? Well, let me give you my best attempt to defend what the Roberts Court did here, and then tell you why I'm concerned. This is king-like power in core powers. Shared powers with Congress, not core. Maybe there's a presumption of presidential immunity, they said. As long as you can criminalize it without impinging on or reducing presidential authority, then you can go ahead and convict on those things potentially. But it's hard to imagine how that would ever happen, because any effort to convict on those things would in fact reduce presidential authority in those areas. So as Sonia Sotomayor rightly pointed out, that looks like an exception vanishing to nothing. But that's what they ruled, okay? So core powers, not core powers, and then private. Private, you can be convicted for. Not core is a presumption of immunity, but maybe. And core powers, no. Because in core powers, the president is king. They did not say this, but that's the only way you can interpret it. The president's the only one granted these powers under the Constitution, and nobody else can say anything about it. Because just like with the king, what the king does makes it law. The king cannot be challenged in these areas. Now, what's weird to me is they granted king-like authority to the president in those core powers, and then they turn around and say a couple of times, the Roberts, you know, John Roberts writing for the court says, The president enjoys no immunity for his unofficial acts, and not everything the president does is official. The president is not above the law, but under our system of separated powers, a president may not be prosecuted for exercising his core constitutional powers, and he is entitled to at least presumptive immunity from prosecution for his official acts. That immunity applies equally to all occupants of the Oval Office. The president is not above the law, but they just made the president above the law. So I would say that a better rephrase is the president is not completely above the law. And that's not the way I learned it in civics. But that's what they've said. Now, the best defense of this I can give you is something like this. The Roberts Court just said the president is above the law, even though they said they didn't, but they really did. The president is above the law. He cannot have criminal sanctions against him for his exercise of core powers, right? The president's above the law in the exercise of those powers. No matter how wickedly he uses them, you can't do anything about it. You can remove him from office, but you can't prosecute him. So he is above the law for those things. But it's not our fault the president's above the law. The framers of the Constitution screwed up. The framers of the Constitution were worried about having a weak president. They wanted a strong president. And they gave you a constitution which gave you, in certain areas, a strong president. And we're stuck with that unless we amend the Constitution. Now, they didn't say this, but me as a philosopher logically trying to work out what they said, that's the only way you can make sense of it. And if you make sense of it that way, then you wind up saying that the Roberts Court did its job of interpreting the law. And even though it leads to a horrendous conclusion, one that offends the liberals on the court and Andrew McKay, they still did their job right. Now, I don't think that still holds, but at least that would explain how you can grant the president total immunity for his use or misuse of pardon power, recognition of foreign government power, firing of subordinates power, okay, and maybe military power. Use or misuse? That's the only way you can make sense of it. And so the question now is, do you believe, I mean, what should be done at this point? Do you say, well, okay? Do you say, as some Democrats are rumoring now, impeach the Supreme Court? That's what they're saying, some. Or do you say, well, it's time for a constitutional convention and we need to clarify that a president can, in fact, be, you know, indicted, charged, and convicted for abuse of these powers, which, by the way, is kind of what the impeachment judgment clause is all about. Because remember, the impeachment judgment clause says high crimes or misdemeanors, right? I mean, that's what impeachment's for. But judgment in cases of impeachment shall not extend further than to removal from office and disqualification to hold and enjoy any office of honor. That's by the Senate, can't do more than just remove. Trust or profit in the United States. And then the second part is very important. But the party convicted shall nevertheless be liable and subject to indictment, trial, judgment, and punishment according to law. See, when I read that, it sounds like the president can be removed for doing awful things, and then you can try them and convict them for doing awful things, which sounds an awful lot like what Hamilton writes in Federalist 69. The president of the United States would be liable to be impeached, tried, and upon conviction of treason, bribery, or other high crimes or misdemeanors, removed from office, and would afterwards be liable to prosecution and punishment in the ordinary course of law. The Supreme Court makes it sound like what treason? What bribery? If he's using core powers, he can't have committed these things. That's how I read it. Federalist 77. And from his being at all times liable to impeachment, trial, dismission from office, incapacity to serve in any other, and to forfeiture of life and a state by subsequent prosecution in the common course of law. You can execute former presidents, Federalist 77, for committing, for example, treason or murder or, you know, whatever. But the Supreme Court seems to be saying that if he's done it as an official act within his core powers, you can't do any of that because it's not a crime. It's not even that it can't be prosecuted. It's that he makes it not a crime because he does his core powers or uses his core powers to do it, like a king. You literally can't make the king break the law because the king is the law. And in core powers, the president is the law. So even though I think some of Sonia Sotomayor's stuff that she writes is a little over the top, only a little, I kept thinking what she was saying before she wrote it. And when I read it, I thought, yeah, she's basically got this right. And I said, the only defense I think you can make is that it's not the Supreme Court's fault. This is how the Constitution is written. Frustrating though it is, we don't really have checks and balances on the president use of core powers. We don't really have separation of powers. we don't really have a king. We don't really have a president who's not a king. We don't really have a president who's not above the law. Tough for you. You wrote a bad constitution. And Nixon, he didn't need to be pardoned. They did it out of a mistake. They didn't realize that he couldn't be prosecuted. If they'd realized that, then he probably wouldn't have resigned and Ford wouldn't have ever had to pardon him anyway. Is kind of what they said yesterday. 437-1620, John Pickens has traffic on the fives.
That's right. No accidents to let you know about. I-110, I-10 flowing smoothly. But if you're headed southbound from Pace to Pensacola, through that construction zone, we're seeing some major, major delays. So just pack your patience with that one. Other than that, traffic is looking good. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives. And now David.
Here's today's Strength for Life with your host, Pastor James C. Johnson.
Did you know that the golden rule given to us in Scripture is given in the context of prayer? Matthew chapter 7, verse number 12 gives us the golden rule. The Bible there says, "Whatsoever ye would that men should do to you, do ye even so to them." Just previous to this verse in Matthew 7 are instructions that we are to ask, seek, and knock through prayer, and the Lord will provide good things. So understanding that the golden rule is given in the context of prayer, the question is, do you pray for others like you would want them to pray for you? Are you in a situation where you need God to provide for you in a huge way? I suggest that you not only ask, seek, and knock for your needs, but that you ask, seek, and knock for the needs of others, and then marvel at how God not only meets their needs, but yours as well.
That was James C. Johnson. He serves as the pastor of Northstone Baptist Church in Pensacola, Florida. For more Strength for Life, please visit our website, strengthforlife.church.
Pensacola Christian Academy is the area's premier kindergarten learning program. Why? Because in a fun, safe environment, even four-year-olds learn to read, beginning with letters and sounds, progressing to reading words, sentences, and stories. And the best part? If your child attends K-4 and K-5 at Pensacola Christian Academy, you'll get first grade tuition-free. Spots are filling quickly, so go to enrollpca.com to register now.
Bands on the Beach, presented by the Santa Rosa Island Authority, tonight at 7 at the Gulfside Pavilion on Pensacola Beach. Bring a blanket or lawn chair and relax and enjoy the sunset with your favorite bands. Tonight at 7, it's Johnny Earthquake and the Moondogs, playing all types of music from the 50s through today. Johnny Earthquake and the Moondogs is a fan favorite, high energy show packed full of sing along favorites. Bands on the Beach, tonight at 7.
On September 11th, 2001, an operations officer placed a call asking if a crew could be ready to fly. U.S. Naval Aviator Aaron Dimmock answered that call. Working largely in silence, Dimmock defended America. Now he's ready to answer the call yet again. Pro-Trump conservative Aaron Dimmock for Congress. Florida Patriots PAC, paid for and is responsible for the content of this advertising. Not authorized by any candidate or candidates committee. FloridaPatriotsPAC.com.
News Radio Pensacola on 92.3, 95.3 and AM 1620. Informative, local, dependable.
Your stunned silence is very reassuring.
For you, Mary. 729 here on News Radio Pensacola. I'm Andrew McKay at Pensacola Morning News. David Wayne's in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Well, Hurricane Beryl is now Category 5 strength as it heads toward the Caribbean. According to the National Hurricane Center in Miami, it's got a maximum sustained wind speed of about 165 miles per hour. Boeing acquiring Spirit AeroSystems for $4.7 billion. Boeing has outsourced a lot of its production to Spirit over the years, but now it's looking to improve its safety record, and they believe the purchase could give them more control over the process.
All right, David, thanks so much for the update. We just got word in, somebody who says that they have fixed the lights at BJ's.
Amen.
As of this morning.
Hallelujah.
Like, I saw it this morning at 5. They said by 7:04 they had it fixed. So
that is great.
Assuming this person is reliable and... So one great mystery of the universe is now gone away, and people won't be distracted flying into Pensacola anymore.
Fox News, I'm Chris Foster. President Biden says the Supreme Court's decision in former President Trump's immunity case turns presidents into kings.
There are virtually no limits on what a president can do. This is a fundamentally new principle. And it's a dangerous precedent.
House Speaker Mike Johnson on Fox.
When the law gets in the way of what they're trying to do, now he's trying to undermine the Supreme Court itself.
The decision cuts into former President Trump's election interference prosecution. Evacuations are ordered in southern Gaza.
People in the city of Khan Yunis first received audio messages telling them to leave. Then the Israeli military posted the order in Arabic on social media. It suggests Khan Yunis will face new Israeli raids as the attempt to defeat Hamas continues.
Fox's Jonathan Savage. The U.S. men's soccer team is knocked out of the Copa America tournament with one win and two losses. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 7:31 at News Radio Pensacola. I'm David Wayne. Right now we've got 83 degrees. It's mostly cloudy this morning in Pensacola. We'll get more with your weather forecast and Brooke Richardson here in just a few minutes. Beryl is now on its way to the Caribbean islands. It's a Cat 5 storm with wind speeds of up to 165 miles an hour.
I've never seen a Category 5 hurricane this early in our records, and it poses quite a significant threat to portions of the Central Caribbean over the next couple of days.
And that's Eric Blake. He's a senior hurricane specialist at the National Hurricane Center in Miami. He says Beryl is forecast to pass near Jamaica tomorrow, the Cayman Islands Thursday. Florida should be spared from this one, but he does say it serves as a good reminder to be prepared and have a plan in place for the next storm. Four people have been charged with a woman's overdose death in Orange Beach over the weekend. That happened on Saturday. The woman reportedly overdosed on fentanyl. Gerald Anderson, Rochelle Benson, Malaya Decatur, and Madison Hayek all face a manslaughter charge. They're the first people charged under a new law in Alabama that allows for those who supplied the drugs to be charged with a person's death. Pensacola State College breaking ground this fall on a new facility to house their airframe and power plant mechanics program. Now, this is after they were awarded state grant money yesterday from the governor's Job Growth Grant Fund.
The college received a governor's Job Growth Grant that was slightly over $4.4 million to help fund the startup of our airframe and power plant aviation mechanics program that will be taught in a facility at the airport.
That's PSC President Dr. Ed Meadows. The 25,000-square-foot facility will be built at the airport next to Hangar 3. They'll teach airplane mechanics, but also offer other advanced certifications in the aviation field. The money will cover a new hangar, training, equipment, and even operating costs for the program. Governor DeSantis also awarded $500,000 to Whiting Field in Santa Rosa County for a security fencing project there. Also, while in Pensacola yesterday, the governor commenting on President Biden's performance during the last presidential debate.
You compare him to 2019 to that debate, it's been a really significant decline. And the idea that that decline is going to stop, that somehow you can make it to age 86, given the trajectory, is a joke.
And the governor did not address the performance of former President Donald Trump. A new law designed to protect Floridians from moving company scams. Attorney General Ashley Moody says that law, which took effect yesterday, requires moving companies now to register with the state, provide clear contracts, and avoid misleading advertising. It also increases penalties for movers that refuse a lawful order to return private possessions to a client. It is 7:34, almost 7:35. Let's get a look at our traffic on the fives. John Pickens, what are you seeing?
Well, no accidents to report right now. I-10, I-110 flowing very smoothly. But if you're at the intersection of Palafox and Brent Lane, we're seeing delays in all directions. So just be aware of that. Other than that, traffic's flowing smoothly. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Thank you very much, John. Now our Channel 3 weather forecast.
It is going to be a hot, humid day today with a heat advisory in effect. 50% chance of a stray shower in the afternoon. High today near 91 degrees. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping near 79. Staying hot and humid as we go into Wednesday with a 50% chance of rain. High near 94. Wednesday night, temperatures dropping near 78. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Morning Weather Center.
And right now it is 85 in Pensacola, 83 in Gulf Breeze, 83 in Milton, and mostly cloudy skies. Our next news at 8 and breaking news anytime. I'm David Wayne, News Radio, Pensacola.
I'm Nicole Murray with Your Money Now. Chinese electric car company Zeekr said it delivered a record number of vehicles in June, making its deliveries for the first half of the year the largest amongst U.S.-listed Chinese companies only selling pure electric cars. The company delivered just over 20,100 cars last month, bringing year-to-date deliveries just below 88,000 total. That's slightly more than NIO's roughly 87,500 deliveries for the first 6 months of the year. Boston Basketball Partners LLC, the owner of the Boston Celtics, has put the team up for sale. That is according to a statement the team posted on social media. The controlling family of the ownership group announced the sale of the majority stake and expects it to be completed later this year or in early 2025. Futures are slightly lower. Yesterday, the Dow Industrials gained 50, the NASDAQ up 146, the S&P 500 up 14. That's Your Money Now.
Party down with a big bang. Shelton Fireworks has been in business for over 40 years. Located on I-10, exit 53, the first Alabama exit, Robertsdale, Alabama. Shelton's has the world's largest selection with over 35,000 square feet of fireworks, the largest finale cakes, and the largest mortars legal in the USA. If it goes boom, Shelton's has got it. Located on I-10, exit 53, the first Alabama exit, Robertsdale, Alabama. For more info, go to sheltonfireworks.com, home of the big ones.
Join Robbie Mott from Trek Bicycle Store Pensacola Friday at 9 a.m. on the Pensacola Expert Panel. Robbie will be sharing his years of expertise on cycling, how to select your perfect bike, best maintenance practices, on and off-road safety, plus the accessories you may need to provide you with the best overall biking experience. Trek Bicycle Store Pensacola on Pep Talk.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. Text or call with your questions. 850-437-1620.
Okay, let's talk about renovation and how it's not like your ordinary happy ending home makeover show. Example, they're the guys who prey on homeowners and never show up to do the work. So that's why the state of Florida licenses contractors. You can check if your contractor is licensed at the Florida Department of Business and Professional Regulation website at myfloridalicense.com.
This message is sponsored by the Florida Department of Business and Professional Regulation, the Florida Association of Broadcasters, and this station.
News Radio Pensacola has you covered no matter where you are or how you like to listen. Tune into our frequencies on 92.3 FM, 95.3 FM, and AM 1620 for the latest breaking news, local updates, and in-depth analysis. Can't be near a radio? No problem. Stream us live on our website or through our convenient app. Available for download on your mobile device. Plus, with our smart device integration, you can ask your virtual assistant to play News Radio 92.3, and we'll be right there with you. It's News Radio Pensacola.
We understand now we have an individual because we know we have a victim on Harris Boulevard. We know we had shooters. We know we had 40 rounds that were fired. We are chasing killers at this point, and we are not going to stop. Our boat, we launched two of our drone units. We also commandeered a couple of boats last night, and so the people at the fish camp over there, I want to say how much we appreciate them doing the right thing and helping us catching these murderers. And
that, of course, was Sheriff Chip Simmons from the press conference that he did. When was this? Tuesday, I think, of last week, after the horrible shooting and the chase and the trying to jump over the jumping over the bridge and all of the things. We'll get to some of those details. Sheriff Simmons, welcome back to the Pensacola Morning News, by the way.
Good morning, Andrew. How are you?
Good to have you back. Great to have you. I did just one thing you said there. And the only reason I started with this because I wanted to make sure not to forget it. You said commandeered some boats. It was my understanding that police do not have authority to commandeer vehicles. It's something you see in the movies, but it right. cannot actually happen in real life because you have things like property rights and all that. But I'm guessing you meant, well, we asked for them and they gave them to us, not like we took them.
Yeah, well, what we did was, you know, we didn't have to because the people up there at the fish camp were more than willing to help us out and to help us search. And we told them what we were searching them for, and a lot of them saw you know, obviously lights and sirens are going up there towards the bridge, and then they kind of see what's going on, although it's difficult to see everything from below the bridge. You know, you can't see everything up on the bridge, and on the bridge you can't see everything below the bridge, just from visibility standpoint. But yeah, when I say commandeered, I meant we used some civilians' boats.
They helped.
They were actually still driving the boat. They were still, you know, running it.
Okay, they were just giving us rides. Passengers.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Fair enough. That makes more sense.
At the time, I was like, okay, how do I describe that? We just jumped on some good citizens' boats, and they were helping us out.
So this, this story, we'll actually talk a little bit more about this quite a bit, but because we have other stuff to get to. But this story is unbelievable. It's horrible. You had a woman shot, mm-hmm. who I am assuming was an unintentional victim. That's not even who they were trying to kill on Ayers Boulevard.
That's
right?
Our understanding, yes.
Okay. And this is a very, very bad little enclave of town, Diego Circle, Ayers Boulevard. We have a lot of incidents there. ShotSpotter is there, yes. Which you said, because you talked about ShotSpotter alerting you to this. 40 shots fired, video of the guys with the guns out the window and their arms.
We showed that, correct.
I mean, it's... And the real-time crime center, all of those things combined to put your deputies on the scene in a chase that then had outcomes. But the technology did its job, right?
It did. Again, we it's that connection of technology with, just good old-fashioned police work and courage, quite frankly. As you recall, we had the shooting. We do not believe that the 70-year-old victim was the intended target of the shooting.
Right.
I do have to inform you, as of I think yesterday, she passed. Mm. So we'll be working with the state attorney's office on upgrading the charges on the two of the three that jumped over the bridge. So when I said that we were chasing killers, we knew that someone was very seriously injured. And again, I said this at the press conference, and I will continue to boast about the men and women of the sheriff's office, because there were deputies who were right behind this individual, and they knew the information. They knew who they were chasing. That's the one thing that people sometimes forget. It's one thing, say, any traffic stop could turn bad because you don't know who you're stopping.
Right.
In this particular case, the deputies that were right behind them, they knew that we had, I think, 40 shots fired. They knew that's typically not one gun. They knew there were a couple people in the car. And again, they knew at any time that they could stop and they could come up with a weapon, because we knew they had done that before. And how desperate are they at
right.
that point? So, yeah, I'm always going to talk about how brave our deputies and canines are.
Now, in this case, they did not ever fire from the car during the chase, right?
No, not from the car.
But you found serious weapons.
Yeah, we posted some pictures. One was like a happening now, and then we reposted them, and we showed them at the press conference that, yes, they had 223, a longer weapon, assault-style weapon.
Yeah.
And then we had two handguns.
That's an ammunition size, for those of you who don't know, the kind of ammunition that an AR-15 fires.
Right. It's a longer one than a typical
5.56, but that's that type of ammunition,
same
right?
Same type of thing, yeah. Right. Yeah, so anyways, we found those in the car. And again, you could see, we showed the picture, but you can see from some of the video still shots that we showed, it's the car. Mm-hmm. It's a stolen car. It's used in a drive-by. They're running from the cops. And then who would have thought, though, that they'd stop at the bridge and just jump out over the bridge? And I'll be honest, I hadn't realized just how high that bridge was. You go over it and you see
it's pretty
good. But when I went out there that night, because in big situations, I typically go out there and make sure our guys are okay and canines are okay.
Right.
And when I looked over the edge, my first thought was, whoa, that's a long drop right there. And that's why we weren't sure if the third individual, the suspect, actually survived or not. But he obviously hit a softer area, because a lot of marsh and some water and some not so wet. But there's just a lot there to deal with at one time. There was the one that we retrieved from the water. There was one that we were doing CPR on after his fall. There's a canine we're fishing out of the water. There's a lot of things that we were doing at the same time, and he obviously escaped, but we didn't give up, and then we caught him in Laredo.
Yeah, which is also amazing, the interagency cooperation out of state in Texas. I mean, that's great police work. It's and just for people who might, there are questions people might have, and I think it's just worth understanding. Even before, and unfortunately, she has since passed away.
Right.
So now you have that additional charge in this case. But even before that, you were charging with felony murder, because in the commission of a felony, if somebody dies, everybody who committed the felony, that involved the death, even though in this case it was a death from jumping over the side of the bridge and dying down below. Everybody's involved is a felony murder case.
That's correct. Yeah, even if it's one of your allies, they because that individual died during that commission, we did charge them with felony murder. But again, that's going to be up to the state attorney's office to raise that to murder. I would think it'd be first degree murder. You're driving around there, and you you end up shooting and ultimately killing a 70-year-old woman who was just sitting in her front yard. So, you know, it's my I've been discussing this with Commissioner May about getting some money for more cameras on this area. We obviously have a camera we have a couple cameras there, but to really be effective with our and integrating with our real-time crime center, I think that it would be better if we have a few more cameras in that particular area. Well, here's the thing.
Can I pause you for just a second? Because we'll come back to this in a second, but let me get John in here with a quick traffic report. John?
That's right, I-10, I-110, flowing smoothly, no accidents to let you know about. But again, if you're on Highway 29 in Burgess, be aware at that intersection. We're seeing some major backups in the southbound lane. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the 5s.
Thanks so much, John. Go ahead, Chair. Sorry about that.
I don't know what I was going to say.
Well, you were talking about there being more cameras and talking with Commissioner May. And see, to me, that's part of the thing that's amazing is they know this is, I mean, they could reasonably infer that this is a shot spotter area. That's not a secret. Cameras, all of that. And it still doesn't deter. It doesn't deter the behavior. They're still willing to do this. What will deter the behavior?
Well, I do think that it helps us to catch the bad guys.
Them.
If it doesn't deter. And I do believe, based on some of the stuff that we're hearing, that there is a deterrent factor there. That they will... They're a little less likely, and in this case, they had like the jackets. They pulled the jackets up over their face so they couldn't be seen. And so, my assumption is they knew that there was a camera that would be there. That's why they're stealing cars, not using their own cars, because they also know that we might be catching those. And this
they're treating it like a bank where they feel like they need to
because they know that there's surveillance.
Going to be surveillance. Yeah. Okay.
And again, the technology you talked about, the real time crime center, the shot spotter, we get the indication of it. We got the indication it's a stolen car. We know that connection. And I think that it certainly aids law enforcement and helps us to know, like I said before, you could see, like I said in the press conference, actually, you could see what type of car you're looking for. Even though you hear a stolen car, you get a description of it, you also see that on your screen. And as a deputy, you can kind of we have the ability to send that out. So you know that, hey, that's the car that just passed me going the other way as I'm responding to the right. scene. So they can quickly turn around and try to follow the bad guy, because they knew that we had cops going, we had a number of officers going to the scene to render aid, whatever aid we could.
And it was clear from the press conference and from the video too that, I mean, Streeter's a rock star. K-9 Streeter's a rock star. And maybe sometimes to his own detriment, the dog went after the guys over the edge of the bridge, 30 feet to the ground below, but
Our dogs have one job, and that's to catch the bad guy they're directed to go after. And I guess the thought on Streeter's mind is, there he is. I see him. And our body cameras, you don't really see what – we don't have a body camera on Streeter, although it might have been a great video had we done that.
Yeah.
But so we can't see exactly when Streeter kind of locked on to them. But you can see we stopped it just as the dog was leaping over the bridge. But – because there's not much else to see after that.
Right.
That was pretty much
just
the same.
A bridge.
Yeah, he did what he was. He was a brave dog. I don't know how many other dogs would have looked over and said, I don't know about all that.
Peeking over, do an assessment, get on the slide rule. Yeah, go.
Well, actually, if you see the suspects get out, and a couple of them look over and they decide to go different, a little farther up.
Right, two went left and one went right. Yeah. I think if I remember. But,
So I mean, they were making that evaluation, but Streeter didn't care. A bad guy went over there. I'm going over there after him, and again, I asked. Deputy Stimwell, I said, well, how much water training do you do? I mean, how good a swimmer is he? He said, I've never put him in the water. It's just the natural, I guess, the natural ability to swim, which I'm
and
glad
in
he was
still.
And the gear,
too, because he's wearing a vest, which is hard to swim in, right?
It's a harness more than a vest. But, yeah, he was able to swim. And the good thing is that when he hit the water, it didn't knock him out. And he was able to, even though he was injured, and he did have to stay overnight for observation. But he's a tough
no,
dog.
No kidding. We had, there's a lot that could come out of that, but, and especially you had drones that you were using. I mean, the chase we didn't even get into, but, up and down Palafox, across I-10, I mean, just, all over town, and these are scary things, and all kinds of, they had weapons, they're engaging in a chase, they're known attempted murderers, they are, anything could have happened, like, movie scene kind of stuff, and this was sort of in the end, but thank God not as awful as it could have been. So
and we always evaluate how long do we chase and who do we chase, and in this situation it doesn't really get any more serious than this. What we felt like, and reasonably so, that we can't let these people go. These people are a danger to society, right. we understand that, and so we obviously were going to pursue them, and I also encourage our deputies to stop as quickly as they can. So as soon as they got an opportunity, as soon as the deputy got an opportunity, I think it was Deputy DeVelez, was able to he tried to pit before the bridge, mm-hmm. and at that point, you're in a situation where you got to go now because the car was, I think one of the tires went flat and going over a curb, and so there was an opportunity there to go ahead and get it done. So it took it three different times, and he was able to, as you saw in the video, able to stop the car and just did a terrific job.
Well, it's great. I mean, it's great police work in a horrible situation, so which is what you guys shine at. I did want to ask you just briefly the Dreamland Skate incident. What, a four-year-old's having a birthday party and a couple of adults start shooting at each other?
Yeah, let's adults. I guess we'll call them adults instead of idiots. But you
older
know what?
People
yeah.
who are not minors.
Exactly. Originally it was reported as a drive-by shooting. It was not. What it was is exactly what you just mentioned. It was a four-year-old's birthday party, and two adults can't get along, and both of them retrieve guns. Both of them start shooting at each other. Originally, we evaluating it, see if maybe it's a stand your ground type thing on one or the other. But right now, we have one identified, and we think we know who the other one is, but we want to make sure we do it before we put these warrants out. But we're going to arrest them. We're going to catch them. I'm hoping right now to thinking, man, that was a dumb thing. I just ruined my life being stupid, and that's ruined life may be strong, but you know what, you may go to prison for a long time. So
right.
I'm not sure what your expectations were, but you fired indiscriminately into a crowded parking lot, and I haven't seen the video yet, but that's the description that I hear, and I'm going to look at it probably when I get to the office, and I'll maybe be able to give you a little more explanation, and hopefully they'll be arrested by next week anyway.
We do have a couple of good news notes. You graduated your Citizens Law Enforcement Academy, and also tonight I think you're having another commencement, right?
Yeah, we're graduating a lot of things. We had our second Law Enforcement Academy graduation about a week and a half ago, 2 weeks ago, and we have tonight our Female Blazer Academy graduation is taking place at Sanger Theater.
That's the Citizens Law Enforcement Academy.
No, the Police Academy about two weeks ago.
Oh, it
and
is.
And then last Thursday, we had our Citizens Law Enforcement
Academy.
You
have all of this happening.
We have all this stuff going on.
We're getting new cops. We're getting
new informed citizens and new
Blazer Academy tonight.
We have so much going on at the Sheriff's Office. So much with our engagement, so much with our enforcement. It's just, it's a pleasure to be the Sheriff of Escambia County.
Man, I mean, and as you and I have talked about before, innovating in ways that other agencies are copying because they say, hey, that's a great idea. We should do that. I mean, that's the mark of professionalism, and also that you're doing something that other law enforcement agencies recognize, wow, that's a really good thing, like the Blazer Academy. And now for women as well that you'd been doing a couple times. Second class for
this
women?
This is the third female class, and we've had about five or six male classes. I'd have to go back and count.
Outstanding. Sheriff Chip Simmons, Escambia County Sheriff Chip Simmons, sir, always a pleasure to have you. Thank you so much for the time. Thanks for keeping us safe, keeping us informed. We'll talk to you next week.
You bet. Take care.
All right. 7:54 here on News Radio Pensacola. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. When I say BMW, Porsche, Mercedes-Benz, Audi, Genesis, Jaguar, good quality imports that you might think you got to go to the dealership to service, no. You can take them to Bobby Likas on Davis Highway and now also on Pensacola Boulevard, Highway 29 across from the Walmart, 8969. They're up there, and you can always take your car up there. Also, if you've got a domestic, they work on those, Chevy, Dodge, whatever, no problem. Find out more at carclinicservice.com. It's like a healthcare clinic for your car is kind of their idea. Bobby Likas Auto Service now in two locations. John Pickens has traffic on the fives.
That's right. No accidents to let you know about, but we're still seeing some heavy, heavy delays on Highway 29. Right as you get off the interstate heading southbound and around the Burgess Lane intersection there. So just be aware of that. Everything else is looking good. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Window knows how unpredictable coastal weather can be. And that's why our windows and doors are designed to take on severe hurricanes and the most intense heat. They're built and installed by us, meaning better value and a lifetime guarantee for you. Give your family security that lasts a lifetime. And get New South Pro.
Buy two of our products and get the third free. Visit NewSouthWindow.com.
Stop by their Pensacola showroom to see their products in action.
Join the Great Southern Restaurant Group, home to the Fish House, Atlas Oyster House, Jackson's, Angelina's, and Five Sisters, tomorrow on the Pensacola Expert Panel at 9. They'll be talking about 4th of July, Summer Restaurant Week, Bastille Day, Atlas Beverage Class, and so much more. That's all tomorrow at 9 on the Pensacola Expert Panel with Great Southern Restaurants. The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. Text or call with your questions. 850-437-1620.
Tune in to Retire Right Radio, hosted by Roberts Wealth Management, Sundays at 1 with Paul Roberts. Find out how their certified advisors can help you enjoy your retirement income. Financial security is about more than investments. Roberts Wealth can help you live your values and trust your future planning every step of the way. Don't miss Retire Right Radio, hosted by Roberts Wealth Management, this Sunday at 1 p.m.
Investment advisory services offered by Foundations Investment Advisor Services, LLC, SEC. Registered advisors.
2017. Congressman Matt Gaetz forms a close friendship with future convicted sex trafficker Joel Greenberg, who says they had a unique synergy. Greenberg reportedly uses a sugar daddy app to find college girls and pays for sex on the congressman's behalf. That's a close friendship with the real Matt Gaetz. Florida Patriots PAC paid for and is responsible for the content of this advertising, not authorized by any candidate or candidates committee. FloridaPatriotsPAC.com.
Local experts share their expertise on the Pensacola Expert Panel. It's Pep Talk on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Ooh, yeah. I'm going to have to go ahead and sort of disagree with you there.
Good morning, 7:58 here on News Radio Pensacola. I'm Andrew Kay. It's the Pensacola Morning News. David Wayne is our newsman in the newsroom, dispensing the news headlines. Go ahead, sir.
Well, Hurricane Beryl is now Category 5 strength as it heads toward the Caribbean. According to the National Hurricane Center in Miami, it's got maximum sustained winds of 165 miles an hour.
Earliest ever Cat 5, right?
Earliest ever. That's what they're saying. And former President Trump now looking to have his New York hush money case thrown out just hours after the Supreme Court issued its decision yesterday. Trump's lawyers filed a letter with the judge looking to set aside the recent guilty verdict, saying evidence in that trial is now protected.
I disagree with that interpretation. That trial is unaffected by the Supreme Court ruling, in my opinion.
I would think so as well.
He wasn't president yet. It was more personal as a candidate, all of the decisions. So it doesn't. I don't see how he can make that claim, but it's not going to stop him. Go ahead.
One more thing today is World UFO Day.
Now do tell.
The unofficial holiday that marks the date in 1947 when an object from another world supposedly crashed in Roswell, New Mexico.
I don't know what I believe about this anymore.
But do you want to believe?
I don't want to believe. But I do, as is generally true, want to follow the evidence. Therefore,